Hello and welcome to the Kinetic Fitness Show, where we inspire you to live a longer, healthier, happy, and more joyful life. We cover everything you need to know to be optimally healthy in your mind, body, and spirit. Are you ready to become the ultimate version of yourself? Well, let's dive into another episode with your host and guide by your side, Allie West.
What's going on, people? Allie West here with the Kinetic Fitness Show. Hope you are well. I have started today off in a great way. I just want to tell you how my day's been going so far. I hope you are having a brilliant day. How are you feeling? What's your mood? Today, I woke up, did my usual morning routines, and I cycled to do a yoga session just on the other side of the city that I'm in Nottingham. And I was a little bit early. I got a bit confused with how long it might take me. I got there a lot quicker than I thought, and I'm one of them people, I'd rather be like half an hour early than a minute late. I hate being late. It's one of my pet hates in life. I love that Drake quote where he says, better late than never, but never late is better. I love that. So I cycled down to do this yoga session, and I was early, so where I was doing the yoga session was very close to the river, so I thought I'd just do a little bit of contemplation, shut my eyes, put some peaceful music on my headphones, and just did a little bit of reflection and meditation by the river. And it was awesome, and I just felt great. I only did like a quick 10-minute meditation and then cycled onto my yoga session. Did this yoga session. It's the first time I'd ever been to this yoga session with this particular instructor. His name's Danny. He was great, really helpful. There was only myself and two other women in the class, so it's a nice, small, intimate environment. He helped me with the moves, with the postures, with my breathing, and I just had a fantastic hour-long yoga session. So I'm feeling like super pumped, super chilled. Can you be pumped and chilled at the same time? I'm pumped up on energy, but I feel relaxed and my muscles feel great. And I just feel like I'm ready to tackle today and do things. Hence why I'm jumping on, recording this podcast, recording this intro. The podcast that we're doing today has been pre-recorded. I have a fantastic guest. I'm looking forward to sharing this episode with you because I really enjoyed recording it. And Lucy West, who is on the podcast on this episode today, is a long-term friend, an old friend, somebody that I met through a business capacity, which we're going to tell you about, and I'm sure she'll tell you about. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to sharing Lucy's story with you because she's passionate, she's inspirational, she's a happy person, and really puts across that high energy and that positive vibe, which is the people that I like to be around and I like to make contact with. But I just wanted to fill you in on my day because I just did a bit of yoga and I'm just feeling really stretchy and relaxed and nice and ready to rock. So let's do this. Let's get into this podcast. If you haven't listened to this podcast before, welcome to the show. I'm super grateful for you being here. And if you are a returning listener or even a regular listener, then boom, you know what this is all about. You know why you're here. And I'm ready to share more great knowledge, wisdom, expertise, info with you on how to live that longer, healthier, happier, and more joyful life. So let's get stuck in. Let's introduce my guest today. My guest is Lucy West. We are of no relation, but we have the same cool surname, the West family. So Lucy, she's got an interesting story and an interesting background. She's going to tell you a little bit more about that. But Lucy has worked for some big corporations and big companies. She started out working for the BBC. She's worked for Channel 4, which is a big television network here in the UK. She's also worked for the Cambridge Arts Theatre and the Nottingham Playhouse, which is one of the main theatres here in my home city of Nottingham. Back in 2012, she was introduced to a beauty products and nutritional products company, and this is a network marketing company, and it's called Arbonne. You may have heard of Arbonne, and they've been going now for, I believe, 39 years. I think they were founded and started in 1980. It's now 2019 as you listen to this and as I put this out. So this company has been around for 39 years, and they are a super successful company that has basically built themselves on, firstly, their product and their ethos, but secondly, on their people and developing their people to basically distribute and sell their product for them. So before you start bashing network marketing as well and saying it's a pyramid scheme or whatever, let me just point you out something that was said by a guy that you may have heard of. His name's Richard Branson. And if you haven't heard of Richard Branson, God, you need to like go on Google or something or read a book. Richard Branson, probably most successful man walking this planet today. Somebody who has been through it all, has been there, done it, is forward thinking, is a visionary, and somebody that I admire highly. I've read a couple of his books, I've worked for one of his companies, that's where I started out in fitness, his company Virgin Active. He doesn't actually own it now, it's actually sold on, but yeah, the Virgin brand, as you know, is huge. Virgin Atlantic, Virgin Galactic now, he's got just a huge brand, and everyone, most people, particularly in the modernized world, have heard of Virgin and have heard of Richard Branson. And Richard Branson says that one of his big companies was actually a network marketing company. It's one that not many people might have known about, but it made him and the Virgin brand a lot of money, and it was a home-based network marketing business. You can go and look this up. And he also said, for anybody that's starting out in business now, one of the best ways to develop yourself, develop a business, develop a brand, and become successful in your life, but also financially, is through network marketing. He would recommend people to get into network marketing if they were just starting out a business now. So for all of you guys that are like network marketing haters, or you think it's a pyramid scheme, or you think people shouldn't be doing this kind of business, then in my opinion, you're wrong. And do a little bit of research before you make these claims. And Lucy, my guest today, is a perfect example of somebody who has made network marketing a success. But let's just touch on Arbonne a little bit quickly. So as I said, they've been around since 1980. They've got loads of massive accomplishments that they've achieved. They're a multi-million pound or dollar company. They might even be billion. I'm just saying they make a lot of money per year. And there's a few things that I want to point out about Arbonne. In this generation that we're in, where we're ruining the planet and we're not looking after it, and we're trying to make changes to be more environmentally friendly and to live a more sustainable lifestyle, Arbonne are at the forefront of this. So Arbonne are base themselves on sustainable procurement. They're a carbon neutral company. They're a zero waste company. And they look at being a participant of the UN Global Compact and Impact Group, which is making sure that the environment's looked after and the sustainability for the future. And as I mentioned, they are highly interested in developing their people. So everybody that becomes an Arbonne distributor or that works within the Arbonne organization or under that brand umbrella is developed to become a better person, a better individual, a better business person, and to help develop and grow their brand. So they're an amazing company. I'm not actually part of Arbonne, so I'm not getting anything from this by bigging them up, but I know from what I've heard from Lucy and from other people that are distributors within the company, and from my own research and my own reading, that they are a fantastic company and a highly ethical company as well. So that's enough about Arbonne. Let's get stuck into this podcast and bring in Lucy and tell you about how she has developed this Arbonne business that's allowed her to travel the world. She's just spent the last 6 months traveling the world, using the business to live that hashtag laptop lifestyle, I guess you could say. But there's a lot more to it than that, and she's going to explain that in more detail. She's got massive passions for developing herself and developing her team and bringing transformation into people's lives. And I just can't wait to bring this episode to you. So let's introduce Lucy. Let's bring her in and enjoy this podcast episode, guys. And if you do enjoy it, don't forget to share it with your friends. Let's do it. Hey, Lucy, how are you today?
Hey, I'm awesome, thank you.
Good, good. Lucy West, we're not related, by the way, just going to point that out to the listeners.
We are not.
How's your day going so far? You're on the other side of the Atlantic.
I sure am. I'm in sunny San Francisco in California, and my day is beautiful so far. Thank you very much.
Good stuff. Traveling. You've been traveling the world for the last 6 months, and we're going to talk about that a little bit in this episode. Some epic adventures that you've had. There's a few areas that I really want to focus on in this podcast, which are kind of dreams and practices and habits that you have that help you to be successful. And also I want to touch on mindset a little bit, because that's something that I'm passionate about and that we've discussed a few times on this podcast before. But before we really get stuck into that, can you just tell the listeners about you? Who are you? Who is Lucy West?
Oh, so hi guys. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me and sharing my story, because I know you've had some fantastic speakers on here. So it's a great privilege to be asked. So thank you very much. Me and Ali actually met at a networking event in Nottingham many years ago, when I was proper new to the kind of business owning networking scene. And yeah, he's become a great friend ever since. So a little bit about me. I'm 33 years old. I am from East Anglia in the UK, from a tiny little village. And when I was 16, I kind of, all throughout growing up, really, I had a big dream to go to theatre school. But that wasn't really within the realms of possibility of my family's budget, let's just say, because theatre school is actually very expensive to go to. And I just think the universe works in such cool ways. I met a random guy, which is a whole other story, but he told me about a free performing arts school in London that you could go to called the Brit School. No one had really heard of it back then, because this is obviously over 15 years ago, but now it's, you know, very famous for having people like Adele come out of it. I took myself there, age 16, auditioned for a free place at this school to go and study musical theatre. And so that was probably my first experience of like really going for my dreams at a young age. So that's kind of where I started out career-wise, and absolutely loved it. Had the absolute best time there. Unfortunately, couldn't really afford to live in London at the age of 18, supporting myself. I was kind of working four jobs to just sort of pay the rent, and it was a bit of a nightmare. My parents gave me a bit of an ultimatum of, you know, you need to either get a job to pay your bills, like a proper job, or go to university. So I wasn't too keen on the proper job idea to, you know, get into that. So off I went to uni, which is how I ended up in the Midlands. So I went to Derby University, did theatre because that was really all I knew, and then went into a career of TV and theatre production for several years. And I mean, I don't know how long you want me to go on about this, but like that sort of was my career. And as much as I loved being in the arts industry, similar to lots of other creative industries, whether you're in fashion, music, media, you're kind of doing it for the love, not the money, which is fine when you're in your early 20s. But I kind of got to my mid 20s and I thought, I need to do something different. Like if I'm going to be able to own a house, do the traveling that I want to do, have the lifestyle that I want to enjoy, like I need to do something different. And that was when I started my business.
That's amazing. Tell us a little bit more then about the turning point and the start of the current business that you're doing. What were the deciding factors? Why did you have this shift and follow the route and the path that you're on currently?
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so I first heard about my business, which is an online health and wellness business with Arbonne, which is a vegan nutrition and skincare brand. So I'm basically a brand ambassador for them. I'm what's called an independent consultant. And I was introduced to it via the amazing world of social media. A girl that had been a dancer in one of my theatre shows said, I'm coming up to Nottingham. I want to tell you about this business I'm doing. It's really cool. And my initial reaction when she started telling me about it is, why is she trying to flog me expensive face cream? This sounds very nice, but I mean, I'm not in the market for this. And but then she started to tell me more about the business concept, which was network marketing. And so this is 6.5 years ago now. And, you know, it's more and more out there now. You know, we've got so many bloggers, influencers, people making money online, but it wasn't as big as it is now, like 6.5 years ago. And I just saw huge potential with it. And the other thing I saw is that people that were being successful in it, making $5,000 a month, $10,000 a month, $20,000 a month, they were just normal people. All they'd done was follow a training system, crack on with it, share the business with lots of people. And they've become like so financially successful over sort of a 3 to 5 year period. And for me, I think why I've been successful at it is I didn't really have a back door. I didn't have like a plan. My plan A wasn't working. So I had to make my plan B work. Like it was going to be either like going back to university and spending tens of thousands of pounds and doing something completely different, or it was going to be starting a business. So my driver really initially was financial. Like I just needed to get out of debt. I needed to earn more money so I could do the things I wanted to do and just do something for myself. I think all of us business owners have that in common, is like we just, you have this call inside of you that you know you're like made for something more than just sitting in an office 9 to 5 every day. So that was the driving force, really.
Awesome. Everyone can achieve more and do more than what they believe.
100%.
Let's talk then now, Lucy, about dreams, goals, visions, aspirations, that kind of thing. Because obviously, when you started this business out, you would have had a few grand ideas or visions of where you wanted to be. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But yeah, just touch on those. What goals you've had? I know you've already lived some of your dreams and you're currently living them. Maybe you're living your dream every single day. But talk to us about your dreams, your aspirations, your visions, what you've had over the last 6 years and what they currently are, and how and why you think it's important to have those things as well.
Oh my gosh, like for sure, vision is my favorite thing to talk about in the world, because I just think if you don't have a vision for where you want to be in your life or your business or your relationship, then you're going to stay stuck in the same place. Like if you don't know where you're going, you're already there, right? So when I started my business, honestly, my grandest vision was to earn £500 a month and pay off a bit of credit card debt. So that was it. And my vision has obviously expanded and grown so much. And that's the thing. It's like, you don't need to see like the top of the mountain right now. Just see the first few steps of where you want to get to. And then you can dive into a bigger vision. But you know, some people are born with like massive vision anyway. So that was my initial sort of goal vision, if you like. That happens really quickly within a couple of months. So then I kind of like set the next thing, which was earning enough money to be able to leave the day job. So I matched what I was earning in the day job within my first year of starting my business. So that was incredible. Left about a year later. And there's lots of incentives within the company that I work with, which are just amazing. And they were just huge dreams when I first started. But again, I kind of did know subconsciously, if someone else has done it, why can't I? And that's the question to ask with anything. Like, I'd encourage your listeners, like if someone else has already achieved something, there's no reason why you can't. So one of those things was earning a Mercedes-Benz with the company. Now, just to give you some context, I drove shit car from shit car to shit car, like literally the biggest old bangers you've ever seen in your life, and like literal rust buckets, because I never had any money to have a decent car. So before I earned my Mercedes with Arbonne, I actually sold my last car, which was a Nissan Micra. I sold it on eBay and some guy from Telford came and paid £100 cash for it. And then the next day the company delivered me my E-Class Cabriolet, which was worth about 45 grand. So that was ridiculous moment in my life. But it was something that I did work really hard towards. And it was something that, you know, lots of sort of friends and family members said to me, like, come on, as if anyone ever gets a Mercedes-Benz, as if that really happens. So when that moment did happen, it was absolutely awesome, for sure. So that's just a couple of things.
Yeah, I mean, what would you say though was the ultimate, or what is the ultimate driving force inside of you? I mean, you've spoke about goals there and visions. For me, I think a vision is something that you can put a measurement on. It can be quantifiable, whereas a purpose in life, I don't think can be. So what would you say is your like almost definite purpose? What do you think is the ultimate driving force that has allowed you to achieve this level of success that you've already got and that you're going to continue to get?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, my ultimate driving force, like the word that I always come back to with my business, is freedom and choices. So yeah, my dream and my vision of like what my purpose would be is just to create a life of freedom, where free from 9 to 5, free from being in a toxic environment where people didn't want to be there and they moaned and complained, having the freedom to choose who I want to work with, where I want to work, when I want to work, what hours I want to set, where I want to be in the world. So it's really, freedom is my big driver. And, you know, I have achieved that, you know, by all means. I'm not a millionaire like or anything like that yet, but I have got a lifestyle that I have completely designed for myself, which is amazing. And now my purpose is to give that gift to other people, for them to know that, yeah, they're made for more, they're made for greatness. They can go and start the business they want to do. They can achieve the health goals they want to achieve. Like, you can do anything you set your mind to. So really just showing other people that they can have freedom and choices as well. We're just so conditioned to like go to school, go to uni, get a job, you know, and be on this hamster wheel for 40 years. And it just doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if that's what you want to do and that's your journey, then there's nothing wrong with that. But I agree with you. I think we have untapped and unlimited potential where we can go and achieve our dreams, achieve our aspirations, achieve these goals that we want for ourselves. And we can be the best version of ourselves if we really, really put our mind, energy, focus, spirit towards all of that. We can achieve anything we want.
Yes. And so many of us, like, we're not even, I mean, even myself, like, I've achieved a lot in my career the last few years, but I still now have not tapped into like anything as much potential as what we've got. Like, as human beings, we've got so much potential that's untapped. And sometimes it just takes somebody showing you that there is a different way to live or work that gives you that faith, okay, I can do it too. And I just think life is so short not to kind of take those chances and go for what you want to go for.
Yeah, and it's good speaking to you as well, Lucy, because obviously, as you mentioned at the start, we've known each other for quite a while, but it's interesting to see how we've both grown and evolved in our pursuits, I guess you can call it, or our careers, whatever you want to call them. And sometimes as well, it's great to have these visions and these long-term ideas, and people need these, but it's also important that you don't get bogged down with them as well, because and you take time to reflect. Because if we look at where we were maybe 6 years or 7 years ago, whenever we first met, we are just like completely different people, and we've evolved, and I believe we're both personally better people than what we were. And sometimes people take their eye off that. They're so busy chasing the ultimate goal or chasing that thing in the future that they forget to stop, take a moment, reflect, breathe, and have a look and just say, look, where have I come from? What have I achieved? And it doesn't always have to be a big thing, does it? Sometimes it can be a small little incremental change that you've made maybe over the last year or a couple of years, but that's great as well. It's just reflecting, to taking that time to look back is important as well.
Yes, so much so. Like, I see this in my team a lot, is, you know, people driving towards certain goals and they can get down if they're not hitting it. Like, I always say to them, like, 99% of the time, guys, I don't hit all the goals that I say I'm going to hit. But when you look back and what you've achieved in the last 3 months, 6 months, a year, it's just amazing. Especially, you know, just little things like you just mentioned, you know, stuff like getting stuck in a traffic jam and not swearing at the car in front of you anymore. Like, things like that I just don't do anymore because of kind of the work I've done on myself and the personal growth and things like meditating and just, you know, and you think, oh gosh, like, I am such a different person to what I was 5 or 6 years ago, like, for the better. You know, I'm still me, but you can still be you, but massively grow yourself, grow your mindset. So yeah, it's cool to see where we've come from, isn't it?
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. That's why I wanted to get you on the show and speak to you. Let's move on. Let's talk about the daily habits and practices then, because this stuff fascinates me. What are some of the things that you do regularly, and what are the, you said about personal growth, what are the things that you've put in place to allow you to do what you've done and what you are doing? Because obviously at the moment, you've been, for the last 6 months, you've been traveling around the world. You're currently in California. You've been to Asia, Australia, everywhere. But what are some of the what are some of the habits, the practices that you've embedded into yourself to achieve what you've achieved so far and that you're going to achieve?
Yeah, for sure. I love to talk about this. And what I'd say to any listeners that are kind of like new to this sort of mindset and growth work is just pick one thing to start with and build it as a habit. So research kind of says that some people say it takes 30 days. Other people say it takes 60 days. So instead of trying to do like everything, like, pick one that you're going to focus on and ingrain it as a habit and then add something else in. So initially, when I started my online business, my coaches would say, you need to read personal growth books. And I just thought that was hilarious, because when I left uni, I was like, I'm never going to read another book in my life. And I was deadly serious. I was the girl that read Daily Mail online, Hello magazine. I had no intention of educating myself further. I had 2 degrees that really earned me nothing in life. So I was like done with reading and studying. And I picked up a book that was recommended to me called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And my mind was blown. I was like, oh my gosh, I can read books that actually like teach me something of use that isn't just, you know, like a study book from university or something. And I actually proactively want to read these books because I can tell they're going to change my life. So that was kind of my first sort of real mindset-y book. And I pretty much would say I've read a book a month for the last 6.5 years on business or mindset or law of attraction or how to sort of grow your income via your mindset. So reading is a real big one for me, but obviously now we have apps like Audible where we can listen to books while we're driving. We've got amazing podcasts like this. So I just absorb as much content as I can, whether that's reading, listening to it. I just absolutely love it. So that was the first thing I kind of dived into. My second sort of favorite one is meditation. Like, that's my non-negotiable in the morning. It starts off my day with a positive mindset, calming, and just feeling ready for the day. I don't feel ready unless I take that 10-20 minutes to do that for myself, and it can be as quick as 5 minutes, just breathing and setting an intention for the day. But for me, that's absolutely massive. And then the third one for me is movement. Really, really into fitness, and I'm by no means like a shredded sort of fitness type person, but moving my body every day in some way, whether that's walking, yoga, going to a dance class, going to the gym, like, I love it all. And I'm sure, well, you'll remember when I had an injury, because Ali actually helped support me through that injury, when it's taken away from you and you can't move and it's all you want to do is like go for a run, it just makes you so grateful for your body and what it can do. So yeah, since I had a bad injury a few years ago, I've just made it my absolute mission to make sure I move my body every single day, because it makes me feel good mentally more than anything, as well as physically, but 100% mentally. I feel much stronger if I do some kind of physical movement every single day.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, reading, the first one you mentioned, reading is massive. I was the same as you. I was like, I hate reading, can't do it, not into it, blah, blah, blah. And I really started my reading journey about the start of last year, really. As we record this, it's July 2019. So yeah. I started January, maybe the back end of 2017. So yeah, start of 2018. But I'm the same as you. I'm above one book a month at the moment. So I'm ahead of one book a month, which is I think if you can do one book a month or even one every 2 months, you it's going to make a huge impact and make a huge difference to your life. Books are, and you can read anything, and same with podcasts. You can read, consume podcasts, consume books on anything you want. There's something for everybody. And you really start to notice all areas of your life improve when you start to read and work on yourself as well and work on self-development. So yeah, reading is powerful. I mean, what is that fact? Like, something ridiculously high percentage of all billionaires read 60 plus books a year. So it's a no-brainer, isn't it?
And CEOs, and a great place to start for anyone that's like was like me a few years ago and just the thought of it grossed you out. Read a book or like a biography of someone that you massively respect. So I think one of my first books was reading Richard Branson's one of his shorter books, not his massive biography, but that's a great way to start. So if there's like a sports person that you respect, or I've just listened to Michelle Obama's book, that is phenomenal. Yeah, that's a great way to get into it without being like, oh, I'm reading like a businessy book. Like, read or listen to things by people that inspire you, because you will take so many lessons from other people's stories.
Yeah, and one thing that shifted the game for me in terms of reading was getting a Kindle. I don't know why, but I got a Kindle and it was like I'd taken crack for reading or something, because I was just zooming through books. I don't know whether a Kindle makes you read faster or what, or maybe I don't like physical touching books. I don't know what it is, but I'd say that's one tip from me to the guys listening in, and maybe for you, that is like get the Kindle game going, because you can just whack all the books on there you want and then start to fly through them.
Yeah, Kindle. I mean, it's essential for me at the minute with traveling. I have to have my Kindle. I actually love a proper book, because I get satisfaction of like getting to the end of it and seeing like how far I've come. But yeah, I mean, if you travel a lot for work, like, Kindle's just non-negotiable. You need to make that investment in your own life to just, yeah, have that library with you wherever you go in the world. It's my Kindle's been to many countries with me. It's pretty knackered now, so I need to get a new one. But yeah, it's cool.
The other thing to point out as well, Lucy, about those habits, those daily habits that you've mentioned, so reading, meditation, movement, they're all skills. They're all habitual. You can, even if you believe, or your perception is that you're rubbish at it, or you're crap at it, or you're shit at it, whatever adjective you want to use to start with, you can get better. You can train yourself. I was a slow reader to start off with, but as I mentioned, I'm getting quicker and quicker. I'm getting better. I'm learning words The same with meditation. When you start meditating, you feel like a dummy. You don't know what you're doing. But then the more you practice, the more it becomes consistent. The more you take action on it, the better you get at it, and the improvements come thick and fast after that. So what I'd say to people listening into this is stick with it. Don't think just because you're quote unquote, think you're crap at it, stick with it. You will get there, and the consistency and the habits will come eventually.
Oh, definitely. I was the same. I found it very hard to focus on reading to start with. You just got to train your brain like you do with any skill, really, and tell yourself that you can, or have a reason why you want to do it. So say you're stressed and you've got anxiety and you've got high blood pressure. That is a massive reason why to try meditation as well as other things, or physical exercise, going for a walk, going for a run, whatever. But yeah, have a reason that's driving you to do it instead of just focusing on, I can't, I'm not good at this. Like, focus on your end goal with it. Yeah, when I had my injury, like walking was a challenge after I came out of like my moon boot thing. And it's been really hard to build that up again from scratch. But I ran the Nottingham Half Marathon last year, and I was honestly so proud of myself. But was it easy? Like, absolutely not. You have to just tell yourself every day that you can do it.
How have these practices and these habits then, Lucy, how have they moved you forward towards those goals, dreams, aspirations, definite purpose that you spoke about earlier in the show? How have these habits and routines moved you forward towards those goals, dreams, aspirations?
Gosh, I think it's just a compound effect of so many things. That's another great book, actually, The Compound Effect.
Oh my God, I can't. This is how the universe works. This is how things happen. I can't believe you just said that, because I recorded a podcast earlier, and I don't know what order these podcasts will go out in, but I recorded a podcast earlier, which was an absolutely wonderful podcast with Anya Chong. And I said to her, and I said to the listeners, you need to check out The Compound Effect. It's an amazing book. And you've just said the same thing.
Wow, yeah, there you go.
There are no coincidences.
There definitely aren't. Yeah, so great book for sure. And it is the compound effect of doing things like gratitude practice is another one I didn't speak about. So initially that would be, I'd have to put post-it note reminder like by my bed. So just saying, what are you thankful for today? So I'd see it first thing in the morning and last thing at night when I go to bed, or I'd write a gratitude list, and just to get in the habit of doing it. And I don't necessarily need to like write a list now, because it's so ingrained in me that I just live every day in gratitude, and I just automatically wake up thinking, what am I grateful for today? And it's all of those little things that kind of develop over time that you just become a different person. So for example, when I'd first sort of speak to people about my business and they'd give me objections, I'd be, you know, flustered by it, I'd be embarrassed, I'd be apologetic. But all this time of sort of doing this personal growth, reading the books, like my mindset just became stronger. So my responses became stronger. So my success rate increased. So, you know, I got more sales, I closed more deals on things, just because it's a compound effect of all of that growth. It's not one book that you read that's going to give you all the answers and change your life. It is 100% doing those little daily habits over time that, you know, your life, your income, everything will be so different 5 years from now if you take action and do that stuff starting today.
Yeah, and it's a growth thing as well, and it's a transitional thing. You can't expect it all to just come into line and all your wildest dreams to come true straight away. As you said, it's step by step, one thing at a time, compounding it all together for your dreams to come true.
Yeah, and a success journey looks, if you looked at it like far away of like, you know, someone's journey over like 20 years, say, you'd see a curve just go upwards if you looked at it like, you know, from a distant perspective. But if you focused in and look closer, that upward curve, it's hard to describe this over audio, but it would have lots of ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and downs and, you know, falling over, getting back up, falling over, getting back up. But overall, over time, you are growing and you don't see it in the day to day. It's when you do look back and reflect on like a year or a 3 year or 5 year period that you're like, whoa, okay, that's different. And do you know what's great? What I'd really recommend that people do, especially if you're in a business similar to mine, record yourself. Like if you give any kind of presentations for your work or your business, record yourself. And then when you watch yourself back like a year or two later, you're like, my goodness, is that even the same person? Because you do change, and it's cool to see it back.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's the same with the podcast, and I'm hoping there's some listeners that have been with me from day one, from the first episode. But if you listen to my first episode, don't get me wrong, the content, in my opinion, is fantastic. But my presentation and my interviewing skills, I personally, and the way I talk, I think are awful. But yeah, it's the same thing. It's practice, it's repetition, it's keeping going with it. And eventually you spot your weaknesses, your blind spots, you can tweak them. But you also, from reflecting and reviewing, you also realize what you're really great at as well. And you can hone in on that more and perfect that, those skills and those talents that you've got.
Yeah, for sure. Like, to be great at anything, you've got to suck at it to start with. We've all been
Let's talk about then those obstacles, those you mentioned, bumps in the road or falling down and getting back up. What are some of the biggest obstacles that you've had to overcome in your life so far?
Oh gosh, that's a deep question, Ali.
Diving deep.
Okay, so I'll be really honest with you guys. One of my biggest hurdles in my life is my mum has severe mental health problems, and it takes it out of me. It does take it out of me, like emotionally, physically. So when she's going through a bad episode, it does knock me sideways, to be honest with you. But again, this is something kind of reflecting on my journey, where that would take me out for weeks or maybe months, it now only takes me out for a couple of days. And I've just learned to be kind to myself, that I can sit in bed and read a book and have a cup of tea and not feel bad that I'm not, you know, taking on the world that particular day, but I can recover from it quicker now. So that's one big thing. Like I mentioned, physical injury, that was horrible for me. And you know, I've danced since the age of 4, and not being able to move for like properly for almost a year, that was awful. So yeah, that was, you know, and obviously I put on a lot of weight not being able to move properly. So getting the other side of that has been a huge journey, like mentally and physically as well. So yeah, they're kind of two big ones that stick out. And then the third one, it's a bit of a sad story actually. So I was on honeymoon in January 2016. And as I always do at the start of the year, I wrote down all my dreams, my goals for my personal life, my business life. And one of my goals was to make sure that I go and visit my grandparents like every single month, because I then had the time freedom to do it. I wasn't working anymore. I reflected on like, what are my priorities? And I was like, they're a huge priority because of things that have happened with my mum. I was really closer to my grandma. And sadly, on that honeymoon, my grandma actually passed away unexpectedly. She wasn't poorly. So that was pretty brutal. But instead of kind of going into one and feeling really sorry for myself, which obviously I did for a couple of days, I thought, right, I've got to make it my mission that the next time I set a goal, that time doesn't run out on it. So all them other goals that I set in that January, I just absolutely went for it. And 2016 was my biggest business growth year. That was when I achieved my car and lots of other sort of milestones in my business, because I just realized like, time's so short. And you say, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to take my family on holiday, I'm going to go explore this country, and you're just delaying. Like, you just need to get on with stuff and do it, because time is not guaranteed and you don't know what's going to happen in your future. So you've got to just take action now and get on with it. So yeah.
Love that. Love it. Procrastination's a killer.
Oh, it is, for sure.
JFDI, I say.
Yeah.
100%. Just fucking do it.
Yes.
Like you say, I kind of on the fence. I might have to slightly disagree with you about the life's too short one, but you don't know what's going to happen. So live the moment, live what you're put here to do, and go and be the best version of yourself you can possibly be, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, by life's too short, I mean, life's too short to just sit in a job that you feel miserable in, that you keep saying, I'm going to run a marathon. You keep saying, I'm going to travel South America. You keep saying, I'm going to give back X amount of money to charity, and you just don't do it. Like, stop wasting time and just get on with it.
Yeah, I think if you can, without sounding morbid, if you can sit on your or lie on your deathbed and have the least amount of regrets, if any regrets at all, and say, yeah, do you know what? I had this experience on this amazing planet and I gave it everything I got, I could, and got everything out of it that I wanted to, then to me, that's the ultimate life. That's what it's all about. But too many people get to that deathbed and say exactly all those things you just said. Wish I'd have run that marathon. Wish I'd have traveled South America. Wish I'd have got married to the woman of my dreams. Wish I'd have told my boss to fuck off and go and start my own business, but I didn't, and I regret it. And do you know what I mean? That's, and you hear about it all the time from doctors that work with people that are terminally ill or that are on death's door, and they have all these regrets. Like you say, yeah, just go and do it, go and make it happen. And there's no reason why you can't, because you and me and the person listening to this and the next person, we're no different. We're all made up of the same stuff. Yes, we've got our different personalities and things, but we're all made up of the same stuff. And there's no reason why anyone listening to this can't go and do what you've done, or whoever's done that, whoever inspires you, and do it even better.
Yes, absolutely. We have infinite potential. We really do. And one of the best, you know, it's not morbid. One of the best exercises you can do is go quiet, maybe put some relaxing music on YouTube or whatever, and think about, you know, you're 80 years old and you're sitting in your house, and where are you and what have you done and where have you traveled to and how many kids have you had and what did you give, you know, what was important to you, what organizations did you give back to, and what did you achieve in your career? Like, no one sits at that age and is like, oh, I'm so glad I pulled that extra 2 hours an evening in the office to meet my financial targets to make my boss richer. Like, no one sits there thinking about that. They think about all the amazing experiences they had. So it's definitely worth taking the time out to just do it and think about what you want, you know, the end of your life to look like and what you've achieved. Because like I said at the beginning, kind of bringing it back around, it's, if you don't know where you're going, you can't get there. It's like saying I'm driving from Cornwall to Edinburgh without a sat nav or a map. Like, you've got to know what the end goal is, and it's fine if that changes. It will, it totally will change so much, but you've got to have a vision of where you want to go.
Yeah, I mean, the vision is like the map, as you say, it's the roadmap, it's the sat nav. But the most important one is what we mentioned earlier, is that definite purpose. I think that's what keeps you grounded and keeps you moving forward. And you may never achieve that. I mean, if I read my mission statement or I think about what my own purpose is, I probably will never even achieve it. But if I keep striving for it and touching people and helping people, and not just helping people, helping myself and working on myself, and I can get to that 80, 90, 150, 200 years, whatever age I live to, and say, look, I've lived a joyful, fulfilled life. Do you know what I mean? Isn't that what everyone wants? Isn't that the ultimate? Isn't that why you was put here, is to say, look, I lived a fulfilled, joyful, happy life, and I'm proud of what I've achieved, and I'm proud of the legacy I'm leaving. I mean, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Stop the podcast. Let's go.
Let's go. But also, people need to just take a step back and be like, what is it that makes me happy? Because I think it's when you're doing a job that you love, like we are, or a business that you love that you've created, it's, you know, you're doing what you love. But sometimes when you're, because I can totally relate, because I was in that, going into work at 8:30, leaving at 6 o'clock at night, and just on a treadmill. And until someone says, what do you actually want? Like, what really makes you happy? Honestly, like, is anybody really happy sitting in an office for 8 hours a day? Like, really? Like, if you could have that time with your kids, if you could have that time to be lying on a beach, if you could have that time to be climbing up a mountain or whatever it is that excites you, would you not rather be doing that? So it's taking a step back and going, right, what is it that actually makes me happy? Not just what is it that pays the bills so I can like live in the house that I hardly am ever in anyway, because I'm at work all the time. So yeah.
Yeah. And it's important to be internally and happy on the deepest possible level. If you can have everything stripped away from you, and in terms of, I'm talking material things here, because that's what a lot of people associate having a great life or having success with, is they're attracted to these material things. But if you can have that all stripped away from you and you can still be happy and still be joyful, then for me, that's again, the ultimate. Because too many times we're attracted to these shiny objects and we're governed by these shiny objects. And we think that, do you know what? If only I have £1 million or I drive a Lamborghini or whatever, I'm going to be successful. But there's plenty of people and prime examples that have achieved that, and they still fucking hate their life and they still hate themselves. So I completely agree with you about being happy.
Yeah. And that's, you know what, guys, like, just give a plug to the travel community here. Like, that is why I'd urge anyone to travel. I've had a suitcase since January 16th. We left the UK. I've worn the same clothes day in, day out, you know, and it's, It's just amazing. I think, oh my God, I have a whole wardrobe at home full of shit that I do not need. Like, I have been so happy just only having the choice of a few items of clothes to pick from every day. And yeah, do you know what? All my Instagram pictures, I look like I'm wearing the same thing, like whatever. Like, who cares? It's so irrelevant. And it actually takes so much stress out of your life when you have less stuff. It really is. I cannot describe it, like the freedom that you feel of just, yeah, packing up and going and realizing how little stuff you actually need to enjoy yourself and have a great time.
Yeah, and all that goes back to what you mentioned at the start about gratitude and things like that. Because when you start to travel, when you start to see the world and you see people that are, they've got nothing, literally nothing. They're like living in a tin shed, if that. And they're some of the happiest people in the world. To me, that's proof that, I mean, some people might say, well, they don't know no better, but they do. Do you know what I mean? But they're grateful and they're happy with what they've got and their existence that they've got. And I think we can take a lot from that, like going and seeing different cultures and seeing people, because without sounding cheesy, travel broadens the mind and it opens you up to all of these elements and all of these things that we've already spoken about, for sure.
Yeah, it does. We were in Fiji about a month back, month and a half, and I said to Owen, I was like, oh my God, can we just come and live in Fiji and like eat out of shells and just like be a beach bum? Because like everyone's so happy there and it's just very, very basic accommodation we stayed in. But it was just, how can you not be happy waking up and looking at a crystal clear ocean every morning? It's just unbelievable. And I'm reading a great book at the minute called The Awakened Ape, and he talks about all these different tribes that live in, you know, the Sahara Desert and in the Amazon, and just, yeah, how fulfilled and happy they are. And they, and medical conditions, they don't have things like high blood pressure and diabetes and anxiety. They don't even have a word for it, because they just, they don't have that, because their life is just simple. They eat what they catch, they eat what the land provides, and it's just a simpler, happier way of life. So if anyone gets even a taste of that by taking 6 months, a year out to travel, I would so recommend it.
Yeah, and I think you've done it in a big and bold way, and some people do it even bigger than that. Some people go a year, 2 years, 3 years seeing the world and traveling. But even just taking time out, just take a break, just even if you are in that corporate 9-to-5 quote unquote rat race, whatever you want to call it, just have a holiday, take a break. I know people, and people that are running their own businesses like me and you, but they haven't taken time off for 5, 7, 11 years. And I just, to me, that baffles me. You would, people like that, and if you are listening to this and you own your own business or you work in the corporate world, just take the time, because I guarantee everything in your life, your job, your career, your business, your relationships, your mindset, it will all improve just by taking a break, just from going away, seeing some of the world, taking that time to reset. I can't stress, and I know you've already said it, I can't stress how important that is, just to take time out.
Yeah, and it'll all still be there when you get back. I mean, my husband left his job at Christmas time for us to do this. He'll have an opportunity when he gets back. He's already having offers come in, but it's like just having that headspace for him. He's worked so bloody hard for the last 9-10 years in his career. It's like been amazing for him to just have this break. So yeah, can't recommend it enough. Ask for a sabbatical, ask for, when I first started my business, I earned a trip and I had no annual leave left. I earned a trip to Vegas, and you just have to be brave enough to ask. I just said to my boss, can I just take it as unpaid? She was like, of course you can. But sometimes we just don't ask the question. So, you know, have a word with your boss or yourself, especially if you have your own business and you're not taking time out. That's crazy, because why did you go into your own business anyway? Probably because you wanted more freedom and choices. So yeah. Absolutely take some time out for yourself on a daily basis as well, but certainly, like I already said, travel, it's amazing.
And another key thing to point out off the back of that is it is difficult and it is scary. I mean, we just took in March, we took the longest time away from our business, from the gym, from Kinetic Fitness. My wife Sarah and I, we took the longest time away from the business, 2 weeks. We went to Bali, technically the other side of the world. Is other than going to Australia or New Zealand, it's as far away from the UK as you can possibly get. And don't get me wrong, we was both shitting it, excuse my French. We was like, what's going to happen? Is the gym going to burn down? Are the staff going to mess things up? Are the members going to kick off and complain? Do you know what? None of that happened.
Yeah.
For numerous reasons, because I don't think I wanted to attract that vibe. So I didn't put that out into the universe. So it didn't come to us. But another reason is because just knowing that, like you said, everything will be okay and it'll still be there. Nothing, the things don't change as much as people think, do they? That everything will be all right. Don't worry. Go with it.
Yeah, you've got to have faith. When we left the UK, we knew we needed tenants in our house to pay our mortgage. We had no tenants. We'd had like 10 viewings and no one had taken our house for some reason. It just wasn't happening. So yeah, when we flew out to Kuala Lumpur, we were like, oh God, who's paying the mortgage? Because yikes. And then also the way, so we've traveled a lot extensively in Australia and the United States. And the way that we were going to afford to do that is we do house sitting. So we look after people's pets when they're away, but for free. So right now we're in an apartment, gorgeous apartment in a beautiful area in San Francisco, and we pay nothing for it because we're just looking after a dog. And, you know, again, we'd heard about this website, but nothing was confirmed. We'd put our profile up, but you know, no one had taken us up on our offering yet. And within 2 weeks of being away, the tenants were sorted. We got a 3-month placement in Australia in somebody's house, and it all just started falling into place. But had we said, we're not leaving the UK until we've got tenants confirmed, until we've got house sits booked and accommodation sorted. We had 2 nights accommodation in Kuala Lumpur. We knew we were going to be away for a year. That's all we had planned, was our first 2 nights. We didn't know where we were going from there, but you just got to go for it. You just absolutely go for it. So yeah.
I'm just going to just hit you and the listeners with two quotes off the back of what you've just said. And that is, the first one, which I love, is trust the process. Trust the process. Go with it. And the second one is, you mentioned faith. And one of my favorite quotes is, have courage, practice faith.
Yeah.
Have the courage to go and do it. Stick with the faith, practice the faith. And as you said, it will all, it's meant to be. It will work out. What is meant to be will be.
Yeah. 100%.
Nice, love it. Right, I'm going to book a plane ticket. I'll come and see you. When are you coming back anyway, off topic?
So we're actually coming back for like a little holiday back home in September, because I've got a big conference with my UK team that I need to be back for. And then we will go to Southeast Asia in October. And to be honest, it's indefinite. At the minute, it's indefinite. We've got our tenants confirmed till February 2020, but if they want to extend, we might extend. So I'm not putting any like limit on it. There's so many things I want to see and do still. So we shall see.
Perfect. Love it. What about then, Lucy, if I had to say, so you're 33 now. If you could go back in time, speak to your 18-year-old Lucy self and give Lucy, 18-year-old, one piece of advice, just one, what would it be?
Goodness, it would be just literally what we've just said, I think. Just trust the process, trust the ups and downs, because they're part of your destiny. And yeah, just trust the process. It's all going to be okay, and you can do anything that you set your mind to.
Nice, that was simple. Love it. Okay, let's talk a little bit then about some practical application. I mean, you've mentioned a lot of things already and lots of tips, practices, habits, a lot about personal growth and mindset. But what I love to do on this show, and we've done it time and time again, is give the listeners actionable tips, techniques that they can put into practice straight away. As soon as they've stopped listening to this, if they've made it this far, hopefully they have, and turn this off and say, right, I'm going to do those 1 to 2 things that Lucy just told me. What would, other than what you've mentioned already, what would be like 1 to 2 things you just say, right, do these now, and they will have a huge impact straight away?
Gosh, well, I really think the biggest thing is writing down what you want. What do you want? Like, the universe can't deliver. So imagine you're ordering from a cosmic kitchen, right? Like, you can't put something out there. You can't be like, I'm in a restaurant, please can I have some food? Like, the waiter's going to be like, well, what food do you want? Like, do you want pizza or pasta or salad? So you've got to get specific of what you actually want in life. So that's the first thing, is just, what do you want? Do you want to start a business? Do you want to travel? Do you want to get healthy? Like, do you want to you know, get married? Like, what is it that you want? So that's the first thing. And the second thing that I would say that we've just not really touched on is get out and network. There are so many websites and platforms for it now. So I use meetup.com a lot. Traveling virtually to meet people in different cities. Went to a fantastic rooftop event in San Francisco last night, completely free, had loads of free drinks and food. It was amazing. There's so much out there, and you can learn so much from just meeting other people and networking and getting out of your close circle. It will expand your mind, it will expand your opportunities, and yeah, and it will expand your comfort zone. You know, walking into a room of people that I didn't know 6.5 years ago honestly terrified me. That's why I was so happy to see Ali in that room, who looked like he was like a similar age and not wearing a suit. I was like so grateful to see him.
Bless you.
Honestly, like some of them networking events you go to, it's all just men in grey suits and you think, oh my God. But that's my biggest tip is, yeah, get out and network and meet new people, because it will open up opportunities big time.
Those two things you said, so what do you want? Writing it down. And networking. I'm not a religious person, but I always think of the verse from the Bible, Matthew, I think it is. And it's, what is it? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you.
Yeah. Love that.
So yeah, you go and ask. If you don't ask and you don't ask the questions and you don't know what you want, you're not going to get it. And if you don't go and knock on the doors, again, you're not going to get it. I mean, networking is something, I've not really spoken about it on my podcast, but I was a guest on someone else's podcast, on the Success Journey Show. So guys, if you haven't listened to that, go and check that out, Success Journey Show. I was on that and I was saying to them about how powerful networking is. I mean, I don't think I'd be where I am now if it wasn't for building a network of people, and my networkers help me to grow and help me to be where I am now. But it's also, without sounding corny, it saved my life as well, because there's been times where I've been like, shit, what do I do now? I'm lost, like that boat lost at sea without a sail. And then you reach out to your network and there you go, your problem solved. And another thing to point out to the listeners is you can't do it all on your own. It takes a team, it takes a support system, it takes coaches. You've got to use those people, you've got to use that network, your relationships with people to be the ultimate version of yourself. Yes, you've got to work on yourself, but when you start bringing in people around you that can support you and help you grow, then again, you're going to accelerate to the highest possible level that you can possibly be.
Absolutely. And everybody at those type of events, on the whole, you know, you do get the odd knobhead, but on the whole, people that are there, they're there for the same reasons. They want to grow their business, or they're looking for a new opportunity, or they're there because they want to help you. And that's the biggest thing I would say. If you do get into the networking scene, go with a mindset of how can I help other people grow their business or fulfill their goals? And that's the energy that you'll receive back, rather than going to get business, to get the sale. Who can I sell to? Like, that's just the wrong way to come into it. So it's been massive for me. I've met some fantastic people, met one of my very close coaches and mentors through a networking. Like, I just probably never would have crossed her path had I not been to those type of events. And yeah, so grateful for her. So yeah, it's mega. Love it. Can't recommend it enough.
And it's easier than ever now with, like you say, with the tech we've got, you can reach out to so many people. All you have to do is, I mean, the last three, not yourself, but the last three or four podcast guests that I've got, I've just literally contacted them on social media. As simple as that. And if you don't ask, you don't get. You've got to reach out to these people, and not, even if you're an introvert, that's a good way to do it. If you are an introvert, just send a direct message or a LinkedIn message or whatever, and you don't even have to speak. You can just send it through text. And I mean, there's no excuse really not for getting out there and building relationships and networking, I don't think.
Yeah, the world is such a smaller place now. It's exciting.
I know, we're speaking through a computer across the world. Love it.
It's amazing.
I want to finish this off then, Lucy, with talking about success, because to me, in my eyes, you're a successful person. I'd say Lucy's successful. Lucy is success. But I want to get your own definition or your own idea of what success is and what success looks like to you. So can you just explain in your own words what success means to you or what it is?
Yeah, for sure. So success for me means waking up with a purpose, knowing what you want in life, and knowing that you're on the path. So you might not have achieved every single thing you want. You might not have the figure in the bank exactly that you want yet, but like just being on the path and waking up with a purpose rather than the worst thing. And I just remember it so clearly is waking up feeling like, I don't want to get out of bed today. I don't want to do what I've got to do today. I don't want to get in the car and go to the job. That's so sad. But I know so many people wake up feeling like that on a daily basis on Monday to Friday. So my wish for every listener here is you wake up every morning grateful for the day ahead and excited for it, because that is how we should be functioning. We shouldn't be waking up being like, oh God, I don't want to like do this. So it's very simple. It's just waking up with a purpose and in gratitude. That's success to me.
Yeah. And it, going back to what we said earlier, it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to wake up hating your life, hating your job. You can make that change. In the same token, the only person that can make that change is you. Someone can't do it for you. They can show you the path. They can maybe lead you in the right direction or guide you, but you're the one that's going to have to make those changes. That's going to have to say enough is enough to grow and ultimately succeed and be successful, whatever success for you is, because you've got your version that you just told us. I've got mine. And the listener, you listening into this, will have your own as well. So you can make that change for sure.
Yeah, you can.
Just one last question before we kind of wrap things up off the back of that. You said about waking up every day with purpose. What would be a way then, if somebody's like, I don't know what my purpose is, I don't know how to find it, what would be your tips? One tip from me would be to go and listen to the episode that I've got on how to find your purpose, which I don't know which one it is, but I'm sure if you scroll back through, you can find it. But for you, Lucy, to the listeners, what would be one way or a couple of ways that someone could find the purpose if they're feeling a bit lost and they don't know even how to find it?
Just literally list what makes you happy. So if on a basic level, you just said to me, what makes you happy? Rather than going to all the sort of like deep spiritual words like gratitude and purpose, like what makes me happy? Animals. I absolutely love animals. I love spending time with animals. I love traveling. I love seeing new places, new people, new cultures. I particularly love having a nap on the beach with a good book. And fitness, like that's another thing that makes me really happy. So just list what makes you happy. So if it's football or I can't even think of other examples. Dancing is another big one for me. I've danced my whole life. It just makes me happy. I go to the most random dance classes that are not, you know, working towards any like being in a show or hitting a certain grade or being in a competition. Like when I used to do it when I was younger, I literally just go to move my body and have fun and like listen to great music. So what makes you happy? And then from there, your brain will start forming neural pathways of how you can experience more of that stuff. So if it's animals, for example, right, and you're working currently as an accountant right now, not that there's anything wrong with accountants, I'm sure some of the accountants on here might be like super passionate about accounting, but say you are, but your passion is really animals, right, so about animals. How could I work with animals? How could I see more animals? Could I go and be a volunteer somewhere? Could I go and travel and work in an elephant sanctuary in Thailand or something? You know, that your brain will start firing off neural pathways of how you can go and do more of what makes you happy. So that's a great start into finding your purpose, I think, is just recognize what actually brings you joy and makes you happy.
Yeah, and you don't have to as well. We've spoke about changing things if you're not happy, but I'm not saying, or we're not saying, I don't think you are saying, is to just go and like walk into your boss's office and tell him to do one, I'm quitting. Not all, but you can start to make these changes and start to do stuff that you're more interested in, that makes you happy, that you're more passionate about on the side, and then evolve into that being the thing that you do all the time. And you're a prime example of that. You did what you're currently doing now as I don't like to use the word side hustle because I just hate it. I think it's, but you know what I mean, side hustle. You did it on the side and then you built up to doing it as your life. And anyone can do that. If, like you say, if your passion is animals or it's football or it's bloody Pokemon or whatever, you can take that, start off with small steps and then make it your life. And that can go for anything.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, it was 2.5 years for me from realizing I was made for more and I could do something different and finding that vehicle. It was 2.5 years to the point of handing in my resignation letter, but it was absolutely worth it. So worth it. It ain't going to happen overnight, but it happens when you've got a vision and a purpose and you're taking steps every day towards it.
Exactly. All right, we're going to start wrapping it up, Lucy. I've absolutely loved this. It's just flowed perfectly and it's always great to speak to you. And it's been too long, to be fair. We should have got in touch sooner, but everything happens at the right time and we're speaking now. But before we wrap up, where can the listeners go to find out more about you and your life, and how can they maybe follow in your footsteps? Where can they go?
So you guys can follow me on Instagram. It's Lucy West VP. So just my name, Lucy West VP, that stands for Vice President. And same as my Facebook page. But to be honest, I'm an open book. If you want to follow my personal Facebook profile, go for it. You can follow me on Facebook just as my normal profile. My life and business is one. I don't hide one thing from the other. So I'm pretty much an open book on social media. So come and say hi. And if my journey inspires you, I'd love to hear from you.
Awesome. And people can reach out to you as well if they're interested in following in your footsteps from a business aspect as well, can't they?
Absolutely. So on my Instagram bio, I've got a link, which is, you know, if you want to sign up and hear how you can create a six-figure business online, sign up for my next webinar and that'll add you to my email list. And then I can send you more information that way.
Yeah. And it's important to point out to people as well that you are very active offline and online. I think people think, oh, I've got to take everything online and I've got to do an online business. But I mean, I haven't got an online business. Do you know what I mean? No. Mine's completely offline and there's no reason why you can't create an amazing business offline or online or both. So yeah, you can do what Lucy's done offline as well if you're not that online orientated or that's not your jam. So just wanted to point that out. And then, okay, we always finish my podcast, Lucy, in the same way, and that is with a favorite quote. So just give me and the listeners a favorite quote to end the show.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to. So my favorite quote, and I said it, I did a training last year at Birmingham NEC in front of 2,500 people, which was a mega career highlight for me. And my favorite quote, which I use in that, is whether you think you can or you think you can't,
you're right. Yes. Love it. Henry Ford, I think, but I might be wrong.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Nice. Love it. Okay, that was wicked, Lucy. Thanks so much. You have an amazing time in the States, and I wish you all the success and happiness and joy.
Thanks so much. Can't wait to catch up when I'm home.
Take care.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you to Lucy there. That was an amazing episode. Did you feel the energy that Lucy gives out? I certainly did when I was recording it. She's a high energy person, high positivity, and I loved recording and sharing that episode with you. Just before we go, before we wrap things up, I mentioned this in last week's podcast episode and I've mentioned it on previous episodes as well, but we have a big event coming up in September. If you are listening to this podcast episode before September the 14th, 2019, there's an opportunity here for you to come and experience an amazing event in Nottingham at my gym, Kinetic Fitness, in the heart of Nottingham, with none other than Lee Yuen. Lee Yuen is a breathing practitioner, he's a breathing expert, he's a Wim Hof qualified instructor, he's also worked under Stieg Severinsen, he's done the Oxygen Advantage method, he's got loads of different techniques for helping you to breathe correctly, breathe properly, reduce stress, using breath to improve your performance, lose weight, every positive benefit that you can probably imagine. He has techniques through breathing that can help you to achieve this. So we've tweaked it a little bit. What we are doing to make this course even more accessible is we're splitting it into two. It was originally a full day, but now in the morning it's going to be an Oxygen Advantage course, which you can book onto, and in the afternoon it's going to be a Wim Hof fundamentals course. So if you've listened to Wim Hof and you followed him and you like his techniques and you want to learn more about it and you want to learn how you can be like the Iceman Hof, like Wim Hof, then this event in the afternoon is going to be great, but also the morning event is going to be great as well. At the moment, we have the afternoon event up live. It's on the Wim Hof website. I will put the link in the description. It's a Wim Hof fundamentals where you're going to learn the breathing techniques that Wim Hof uses. You're going to learn how to up and down regulate your breath. And then we're going to finish the day, finish the afternoon, this Wim Hof fundamentals course with an ice bath. So everyone that's there is going to get in the cold tub and do some cold therapy and use the techniques that you've learned on that day to embrace the cold. So myself and Lee will be hosting the course. We'll be putting it on here in Nottingham. It is 139 euros, I believe, which is like 130 pounds. You'll have to look what that is in dollars. It's a steal, absolute steal. The course runs from 12 till 4:30, the Wim Hof fundamentals. The oxygen advantage course that we will have up soon as well, so keep a lookout for that. That will be in the morning. So you can do both, or you can come and just do the Wim Hof if you want to. 12 till 4:30 here in Nottingham. All you need to do is bring yourself a towel, a yoga mat. It says on the website what to bring. Pay your money and come and embrace it and enjoy it. It'll be a great event. Chance to meet me, chance to meet Lee. Lee's been on the podcast. He was on episode number 39, where we spoke all about breathing and the power of your breath. Come along. Here's the catch. We only have 25 spaces. Before, because we were doing a whole day event, we had more spaces. But because we're splitting it up now into halves, into two workshops, we only have space for 25. And because this has gone globally onto the Wim Hof website, the Wim Hof platform, we're having more and more people be interested and ask us information about it. So if you want to jump on this course, you've got to act fast. 25 spaces, less than 150 pounds or 150 euros. It's a steal. Come and get involved. Come and enjoy it. It will benefit your health and well-being, and it will change your life. I can guarantee that. So I'll put the link in the description. Book onto that, and I look forward to meeting you on that date. As always, if you need any help, do not hesitate to reach out. And I look forward to sharing another podcast episode with you again very, very soon. Until then, peace and love.
That's a wrap on another episode of the Kinetic Fitness Show. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this podcast episode with your friends, family, and colleagues. Until next time, peace and love.